Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
You bet.
All right, Mr. Mattson, here we go. Longshoreman. What is the long doing in the word longshoreman?
Long day.
In the past, when ships were unloaded, the sailors passed the goods from the ship to men along the shore, and they were called longshoremen.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple.
Every once in a while, there's a logical one in the mix. Yeah. Oh, boy. Hey, we haven't talked too much about the concept of infrastructure. We talk about roads. We talk about clearing out culverts. We talk about that kind of stuff. But it kind of, you know, you've got Bell Springs Road. Part of Bell Springs. We've got failures going on all over Eureka and Fortuna, not so much so. Just had the big dig out on Myrtle. And the infrastructure of a road is something I think that a lot of us either take for granted or we don't think about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, until you see the cracks on the road and all of a sudden things start moving a little bit. What is the history of roads in Humboldt County?
Well, 1964 is the history of roads in Humboldt County because virtually we had a huge amount of problems. And so everything got fixed at once. And, of course, there's never enough money to maintain anything. So when you fix everything at once, it all tries to fail at once. And so a lot of our infrastructure is very, very old, whether in the cities or the counties. And it's past its point of useful life. And we've attacked as much as we can with our available budgets, but simply just overwhelmed with the amount of just the enormous extent of our infrastructure. So when you think of a road, you drive down the road, you're looking at the surface. Well, there's rock under there, there's culverts under there, there's old timber crib walls under there, there's Humboldt crossings, which are basically redwood stumps that were dumped into gullies and then filled across, and they rot over time. There's a lot of things underneath the road that you don't really see until it collapses.
So 55 years, 50 years, 40 years, what is the anticipated or the ideal time before you come in and either rework the base or revisit a road?
Really depends upon how it was really constructed originally and how it's been maintained. There's some sections of road that, you know, are good for 30 or 40 years with a few chip seals because they don't have a lot of traffic on them. There's other sections of road that, like the Matole Road, that it's just the geology is horrible. And you could sink, you know, your life savings plus your kids' life savings and your grandkids' life savings and still not be able to keep it together just because the geology moves so much. How much money are you going to spend in one location? Are you going to spend $10 million in one spot or $100,000 a year for a lot of years just to keep it open?
I suppose if somebody stood back and looked at the terrain, they would go, yeah. But I don't think a lot of us spend much time thinking about that. I can remember talking with Kelton Steele years ago and Stanton Elliott, two guys that were major in the 60s and 70s before they died. And they remember Eureka looking like San Francisco. A lot of ups and downs. And they remember it was a D5 cat instead of a D8 starting at Harris and going down to 4th Street.
Yep.
Okay. You know, so there's a lot. And, you know, I think a lot of people go, huh? Well, look at Sequoia Park. You know, do you think it was just that small little square?
No.
Or could that possibly have been the entire area? Okay. So, you know, that recognition. How difficult is it working with roads that are built on fill, whether it has the stumps in there and some of the other stuff, or just regular go to clean fill, versus the native soil or terra firma?
Our terra firma is not firma. It's
terra squishy?
It's terra jello. We do have some areas of the county that have really good base and base rock. The Hoopah area has got really good ground. When we have failures out there, they're really big failures. But others, like I said, Alder Point Road, Matole Road, the geology, it's really not really good geology. The roads were originally just wagon paths. In the old days, you know, if it didn't matter, you were right next to the river. If a slide came in, they pushed it into the river. Well, we can't do that anymore. We have to move it to a stable site. And
so you have to move the roadway.
Well, either move the road or the dirt has to be moved a significant distance to a stable place where you can put it, because you can't just put it in the river anymore. You can't let it erode into the river. So
Ruth Lake doesn't need any more material on the dam?
I don't think so. Dams actually, they just kind of hold the silt for 100 years till they fill up, and then you don't have a lake anymore.
Parking lot, I believe, is what the song was, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see when the dams come out on the Klamath how much material has to be moved out to restore the river.
That will be interesting.
It will be very interesting.
Yeah.
So it's when and where the road was built. Some of our newer roads, our newer subdivision roads, say in McKinleyville, they're in good shape. They're constructed really good. They're built on stable terrain. They're not old wagon trains that are just anywhere on anything. But our rural routes are our rural routes. They're old stagecoach routes that were just built the way they were built when they were built.
On the trail.
Yeah. And there is people around to maintain them at the time.
Bit of the challenge, I would suspect, like Samoa Boulevard, where you start getting into sand. Probably not the most stable base.
No.
But it also doesn't, slip out.
No, but it does liquefy, especially in earthquakes. And, you have to have a much more extensive base on underneath the road to make it stable, and all kinds of different fabrics and geotextiles that you can use to make it stable. But again, it does tend to boil and bubble underneath there when there's earthquakes or high water table and vibrations. And then all of a sudden you have nothing, you're sitting on nothing.
Like Florida. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Matson, Humboldt County Public Works Director. Tom, the concept of sinkholes.
Yeah.
Now, those are, I guess you could anticipate certain areas, perhaps.
Yes.
If you knew that there was fill, okay. But you had mentioned earthquakes and liquefaction a little bit in the last segment. Now, if a spring relocates...
Yes, that happens in earthquakes.
Now it's going to be a little bit different dynamic also. How do you monitor that stuff? Or do you just kind of wait for the visual to let you know something has changed below?
Well, when it changes below, it has a tendency to tell you over time. You really don't know until you see where the water's moving to or where it's coming up. This has happened to us a number of times in major earthquakes where we had problem sites for years. And all of a sudden, it wasn't a problem anymore because the water shifted underground, and it became a problem somewhere else. So you have to keep on top of it. You have to watch it, and you have to understand that after an earthquake, you're going to have new problems, especially a big earthquake.
What is the primary source of a pothole? Is it underneath coming up, or is it top going down?
It's generally underneath. When the base fails, and then the road starts to pop out, and then, wear and tear on the road, how the road was constructed originally. A lot of our roads are basically chip seals. They're not really paved roads. And so there's not the strength in the pavement. And water.
Bright time of the year for that.
Yep.
So, yeah, the percussioning, right?
Exactly.
Isn't that okay. So a road that has not had an issue suddenly has an issue.
Something happened.
Will you go down underneath and go up? Do you dig it out to see what's going on? Is it an eyes on? I mean, how do you determine?
It depends really on the time of year and the severity of the pothole. Right now, it's throw and go season. There's no way to stop and dig everything out. The hot mix is not available. So you fill the pothole and try to minimize the damage and get through to the summer where hopefully we can come dig it out or pave it. But we get so far behind at times that we just have to throw and go. But generally in the summer, we get down to grind outs and dig outs, you know, making it square, putting the oil in, packing it in really well. But in the winter, it's all you can do is throw and go.
Triage.
Keep the road as reasonable, safe for travelers as you can. The last thing you want to do is leave the potholes because they do nothing but grow.
Surprisingly quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah. Is that a reflection of the weight of the vehicles driving on it, or the number of vehicles, or the tires that are used?
A lot of it is weight. But again, it's repetitive vibrations over and over. And once it breaks, it's lost its connectivity and it just kind of ravels away. I mean, it's like when you break a window, it doesn't just have a tiny little hole. It takes the whole window out.
Yeah, it's amazing watching those things grow horizontally.
Oh, yeah.
How and quickly.
They grow really fast because they've lost all their strength.
As you look at a road, there are the cracks that go, let's say, parallel to the center striping, and then there's the cracks that go sideways.
Right.
Same dynamic, or just a different?
No. Generally, when you have the sideways crack, that's a lot of that happens on old concrete roads. Take like Eel River Drive in Lolita.
Yeah.
It's an old concrete state highway underneath the pavement. So as the concrete moves, we get cracks that come through that go across the road.
So big chunks shifting.
But if they're going down the road, it might be that there's an old trench line there. It could be just the fact that it's where the vehicles are running and putting all their force and weight and vibrations. So there's different reasons for both types of cracks.
Cement roads, was that what was used prior to a certain time? Is that of an era?
No, concrete is used still all over the place. We don't use it as much up here simply because of the geology. We move too much. The asphalt's much more flexible. But if you go back to the Midwest or even down south, there's a lot of concrete highways, and they're actually very long-lived. It's really, you know, a good construction material. It is a little bit more expensive, and it takes longer to set and cure.
But
the lifetime is much, much longer, but the repairs are also a lot harder to do.
Now, will they put rebar and the stuff we see like in driveways and sidewalks and
depends,
slabs?
It depends on the type of road. Like an interstate, yes. A rural county route, probably not too much.
That's right. I-5
is a lot of concrete.
Okay. Yeah, because it sounds different when you're driving on it, too.
Yeah, because if you head south on 101 and you get to the Healdsburg area, there's a long stretch of the concrete highway there.
The grooves.
Yep.
That's kind of how I thought of it as.
And it was in bad shape for a number of years, and you could really feel it.
Yes, you could. So are there any areas in our neck of the woods that are stable enough to justify that, or is everything kind of either moving or just doesn't have that stability?
Well, it's cost and time, you know, in a lot of the areas you have a lot of detour routes. You can, you know, take your time to build a concrete highway because you have routes that can detour. But I can't, you know, it'd be very, very difficult for me to close a road for 2 weeks.
It's hard divert enough. People through the Forest Service.
Yeah, it's hard enough when I have road closures or detours as it is. And we haven't been very big on the concrete simply because of the cost and the geology that we live on.
So when the construction is being done, how do they determine the times? I mean, I think you probably get a lot of people asking, how come you're doing it during summer? Tourists are here. How come you're doing it during the daytime? Is there a quick, easy response on that one?
Yeah. It's very hard to construct in winter. Summer is construction season, April 15th through October 15th. We generally do it in the day on the county roads because it's a lot safer to do construction work during the day. We don't have multi-lanes to be able to close, and it's a lot more expensive to do roads at night. You're paying overtime on prevailing wage, double, triple, and it gets
say no more.
Very, very expensive to do work off hours.
It's 8:30.
locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Tom, some of the challenges, I think, are self-imposed historically.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you were talking about, you know, building and just kind of filling in and things start rotting out and stuff. Others come from different sources. I'm sure you get a lot of questions about the PG&E, cutting up the roads.
Yep.
What's going on? How come? Now, Harrison is starting to kind of show a little bit of wear and tear, so it's going to be coming back up on, I'm sure, up on your radar screen halfway shortly. When there's an outside vendor or an outside encroachment that's going on like that, Caltrans has theirs also, what is the legal obligation or responsibility for those folks after they're done? Is the road supposed to be brought back to new like it was before? Hey, it's covered. Be lucky it's not gravel. I mean, there's a spectrum of potential.
Well, it basically goes to how old the road is to what our standard of repair is. If the road is more than 5 years old, they can do a T-trench, which is basically the width of the cut plus a few inches on either side to get a strength back. So it's not just that vertical crack. It's actually tied back into the original structure. But if it's in the first 5 years, you're doing a lot more. And we're looking at our standards right now because we've had a couple of issues recently where the cutting was excessive and the permit didn't require the whole road to be overlaid, and it should have.
Over a certain percentage?
Certain percentage. We're looking really hard at Eureka's approach of, you know, one cut, one time. But, you know, people have to, you know, if your water line breaks or the water line breaks, you have to get in there. We're not going to say you can't cut into our road if people are, you know, not getting their water or their electric or their gas has a problem. It's really when they put new things in or they're maintaining new, installing new things, we, you know, really try to make them put the trench back properly. And then they're responsible, actually, for the maintenance of that if it starts to fail.
The landlord?
The PG&E, the water district. If their trenches fail, we call them up and say, you go fix that trench.
Why on the road and not under the sidewalk?
Well, the road is asphalt. It's easier to cut through.
Back to the concrete argument.
You know, you're back to the concrete argument. It's, you know, the road, it's a public right-of-way, so... You know, sometimes sidewalks are on private property. They're not on public property. And a lot of it has to do with right of way and, you know, who they can negotiate with. And roads are, you know, they're regular conduits for every kind of thing in the world. I mean, if you dig in, you know, that's why they have a USA to call before you dig, because there could be something under there.
What is USA?
Underground Service Alert. So everybody that has something out there underground, they subscribe to USA and give that their information so that when contractors of the county or the Caltrans are going to do a project, we have one number to call, and then the person comes out and marks everything that is known to be under there, whether it's phone lines, gas lines, electric lines, sewer lines. It's all a one-stop shop.
Color reflects coding. Whatever something.
Yes, if you walk down and you see a bunch of different colors, you'll see yellow, you'll see blue, you know, the water and power, and so you'll be able to tell.
Lots of stuff is going on somewhere.
Lots of things are under there. It's a spaghetti network in some of our streets.
Is that how new roads are constructed now? The same way? Or let's say you're in a new town, okay, so it's now being cleared off. Is the old way still the way that's being done, or is it done differently now to either allow ease of access to it, or, you know, it wouldn't be as expensive if you need to get in?
Well, we don't do a lot of new construction, but when we do look at it, you know, the new standard is look at putting conduit in. underground so that they don't have to come back and dig if they add something. So
pull it through rather than dig it up.
Pull it through rather than dig it up. So when we build it, we set it up for something to go through under there. And a lot of jurisdictions are doing this now because, you know, you have broadband rolling out, et cetera. We want to be able to have that, you know, installed in our road without ripping our road up. So it's a lot cheaper to put a little, you know, conduit underneath the road than to dig it up and rebuild it.
So how big would be ideal? Are you looking like 12-inch, 15-inch, 4-inch?
Probably 6, more like 6-inch for us. We're looking to try to be accommodating to broadband, realistically.
And that's the primary thing that's
in
there?
Is the primary thing that we're looking at, because that's coming everywhere.
Hopefully.
Sooner or later.
Yeah, the smoke signal thing's getting old.
Yeah, and, you know, digging into the ground and clipping the line is getting old, too.
Yeah, no kidding. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Tom, the concept of these walkways that we're seeing now, you've got a couple on Myrtle.
Yep.
One on Harrison in the Eureka area, but they seem to be becoming a little bit more prevalent. And I think it makes, I've had one, I don't think I've shared this one with you, coming into work, getting about 7, and it was dark, and there's a crosswalk at the end of Park going across Myrtle.
Yep.
There's a fellow there, and he's like a mentor or a guide, you know, helping out somebody. And I saw him, so I, you know, stopped back far enough, and he had crossed the main line, it was in the middle of the passing lane. The guys coming down the way didn't see. They were kind of dressed in dark. It was, again, before sunrise. Hit the lights and stuff, and they ended up waving kind of chagrin, but going about 15. They could have locked it up.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, okay, so what does it take to do one of those little flashy things that you were starting to see more and more? It's not a full stop light.
No.
Which, thankfully, but it is a notification that something's happening. Is that kind of the trend now?
We're doing quite a few of them, and a lot of the cities are as well. We're looking at, you know, where the major crossings are, where your likelihood of like you say, somebody crossing. I mean, if you're walking or riding a bike at night, you should really be wearing a reflector and be as visible as possible. But, you know, looking at, you know, people are going to cross the road where they're going to cross the road no matter what we put in. And so we try to highlight, and, you know, those will go in where there's not a stop sign, because at a controlled intersection with the stop sign, everybody's stopping. So these are really, we're looking at places where we know people are crossing the road, where there's no stop signs for the vehicles to stop. And this way, drivers get a heads up, hey, somebody's going to walk out into the road.
Well, it was this one specific site, for those who may not be familiar, there's an elementary school about a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
So I think it's just beyond that safe schools thing.
Yeah.
But it's the crosswalk that was painted to get the kids across the street.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, okay. This is a legit one.
Exactly.
To put in. So if somebody has those concerns, do they call you? Who do they reach out and say, you know, guys, can you consider this location?
They can call, if it's in the county, they can call our roads division at 445-7421 and let us know that, you know, they'd like to see one there. We generally get those through grants. So we look at grant cycles, and then we ask for a whole bunch of them.
A grouping of them.
The state has made funding available through the Highway Safety Improvement Program. So every 2 years that grant cycle comes around, and generally we apply for several of them at different locations that have come up over the years.
Are they pricey?
Anywhere from 15 to 100 grand, depending on the length of the road, what you got to put in.
Now, how do you determine if you go with the bump up or just the regular, just striping the crosswalk, or you put these things in play?
Well, we look at accident history and the possibility of accidents, and, the bump ups are different. We like the rectangular flasher right in the middle. The ones that are in the ground generally have had issues, and we've tried to stay away from them because of the maintenance issues that those have had. But the ones we're installing now, the flashing beacons, are working really, really well. And
they really jump out because they're up at eye level.
They're right at your eye level, and if you're looking at driving the way you're supposed to be driving, you're going to see it.
Yeah, even the daytime one, the one down by on Harrison, it was just put in. It's like, okay, you see that one for
you can see it way down the road.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully it doesn't require somebody getting tagged.
No, we're looking at places where there's definite crossings, and the traffic's generally maybe higher speed. We have them on Central Avenue in McKinleyville, which is, there's five lanes across the road. The speed limit's 35.
And people can pick up. Yeah.
And people can pick up a pretty good pace through in there. And so, we looked at spots where people were crossing that weren't at the signalized intersection. So we added a couple where it looked like there were people crossing there, or they needed to cross there, and they weren't going to walk, three, four more blocks down to get to the signal to cross.
So just give you guys a buzz, and you kind of put it on a list to review.
We'll take a look at it.
Down the road for viability kind of thing. That's kind of cool.
And it's really, it boils down to a search for money.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I really like, being really goofy, is the repainting of the crosswalks now. Aren't the white stripes or the perpendicular ones?
Right. Those.
So only one or two are getting worked out? And when
exactly.
You replace it, it's, yeah.
The piano keyboards.
Yeah, yeah. Next time we'll talk about having single solid lanes instead of double in towns. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.